This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Wednesday, May 25th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Levern. Thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We begin this morning with heavy hearts with the news of yet another senseless school shooting yesterday at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, 80 miles west of San Antonio, killing 19 grammar school children and two adults, both of them teachers. As a parent, my eyes welled up as I watched it unfold. This is every single parent's worst nightmare. President Biden spoke to the nation last night. He was compassionate at first, and then going after the gun lobby.
Another massacre, Uvalde, Texas. Second, third, fourth graders. And how many scores of little children who witness what happened see their friends die as if they're on a battlefield, for God's sake. They'll live with it the rest of their lives.
Why do we keep letting this happen? Where in God's name is our backbone? It's time to turn this pain into action. For every parent, for every citizen in this country, we have to make it clear to every elected official in this country, it's time to act.
Our prayer tonight is for those parents lying in bed and trying to figure out, will I be able to sleep again? What do I say to my other children? May God bless the loss of innocent life on this sad day. And may the Lord be near the brokenhearted and save those crushed in spirit, because they're going to need a lot of help and a lot of our prayers. God love you.
We're joined now by Relevant Radio News anchor Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what is the latest on this heartbreaking story this morning?
Well, John, it's very sad and sobering news there. And hearing the president talk, who lost a young child to a car accident along with his first wife, as well as later losing an adult son, speaks from a point of experience with loss as well. Calls for legislation in the wake of what happened last night. The House has passed background check legislation that the president would presumably sign, the Senate being the sticking point now. Senators on the Democratic side have scheduled a vote for that before long as well. Pope Francis weighing in, saying, I'm praying for the children and adults who were killed and for their families. It's time to say to enjoy the indiscriminate trafficking of arms. And let us all commit ourselves so that such tragedies can never happen again. So this is reverberating worldwide, John.
And of course, Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Sierra of the Archdiocese of San Antonio tweeted, God have mercy on our children, their families, their communities. Darkness is dense with one more shooting in our country. Let us help one another to spark light and warmth. May we keep each other in company. Prayers are needed. And that really does sum it up.
Yeah, you got to think all kids were hugged a little more tightly when their parents tucked them into bed last night.
Yeah, I got to tell you, as I was watching the news unfolding, I just kept thinking of what those parents must be going through. And my eyes welled up, to be honest with you, as I was watching some of the coverage. It's just unthinkable to think that you send your little child, your second, third, fourth grader to school, and they don't come home.
Yeah, the second, third, and fourth graders were the ages of the kids that were killed. Just last night, I was buying some little bracelets made by kids across the street who had set up a little stand. And then you come inside and hear that news and think, wow, that could have been them. Hard to comprehend, and yet we get more used to hearing about it, if that's possible. It happens so often now.
Glenn, do we know anything else about the shooter, Salvador Romas?
Well, again, he was killed by police during the shootout at the school. He shot his grandmother before he went to the school, crashed his vehicle near the school, was in a shootout with Border Patrol, who were on the case there about 40 miles still from the border on his way into the school, and ultimately shot while at the school, but just shooting indiscriminately in a variety of classrooms. There are several more that are still hurt seriously, and I'm sure we'll be finding out more in coming days. He had sent pictures of himself with guns and a hint that something would be up on Instagram before the incident happened as well. And we'll probably be learning more about his background in the next couple of days.
Quite obvious he wasn't right emotionally, mentally, and even spiritually, because what he did was just so unthinkable. Glenn, the other big story going into yesterday was the primaries in five different states, which was obviously overshadowed by the shooting. What can you tell us briefly?
Well, one of the five states that had primaries yesterday that folks were looking most closely at was Georgia. Governor Brian Kemp beat his challenger, former Senator David Perdue, by 50 percentage points there. Mr. Perdue was endorsed by President Trump. Some looked at that as a sign of how effective in endorsing folks the former president might be and what things might look like for him coming up in 2024. One of the candidates for Senate that he did back, and that was former football player Herschel Walker, who won the primary to run for the Senate in Georgia.
Well, we will have a lot to talk about here in the next few days. As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We begin each hour in prayer, especially this morning, praying to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. And we especially pray for all the families that have been affected by this mass shooting and all the victims. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And on this Wednesday, again, I want to remind you to pray to Saint Joseph. He's a powerful intercessor. Go to Joseph, the patron of our church. And I also want to encourage you, if you haven't done so already, to order your copy of Father Rocky's new book, The Memorary Moment. There's still time to take your month of Mary to another level with Father Rocky's new free book, The Memorary Moment. You can learn much more about this powerful prayer to the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother, and why praying it right now can change history. The book is 100% free. There's no shipping, no handling, but it's only available for a very limited time, and the copies are going super fast. So you can sign up this very morning, The Memorary Moment, the 30-second prayer that will change your life and the world, at relevantradio.com/moment. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from John 16:13. Jesus the Lord says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For many, this Easter season has been very uplifting. For others, it's been a little tough. It's been at times discouraging. Do not be afraid. Our Lord promised to send us the Holy Spirit to lead us to the truth. As disciples of Christ, you never ever quit. The Holy Spirit is our paraclete. He's the helper, the advocate. He's the one at our side. We don't need to focus on circumstances around us, but on the Spirit within us. We need the Holy Spirit. We always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. And of course, you can always send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, I want to shift gears and talk about the issue of abortion, which, as you know, has been in the news now for almost 50 years, but especially here in this month of May, the last 3+ weeks since the Supreme Court leak that Roe v. Wade may be overturned. Abortion supporters are spouting off all kinds of rhetoric.
Fight back! Stand up! Fight.
This is a decision
less than full human beings. It puts us back. I've been fighting for women's rights for 50 years, and I'm not going to give up.
The reality is that abortion is so barbaric that its supporters are refusing to discuss it. There are ongoing attempts to save Roe v. Wade at all costs without actually talking about the reality of abortion. Just shows how desperate and crazed abortion advocates are to distract from the bloody reality that abortion kills an innocent, unrepeatable child every time, to the tune of over 63 million babies since Roe v. Wade. Joining us now from Houston, Texas, is Sean Carney, the president, CEO, and co-founder of 40 Days for Life, for much more reaction to the abortion industry striking back. Good morning, Sean. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me.
Well, Sean, you know, you being in the state of Texas, I'd love to get your take on this horrific tragedy right there outside of San Antonio. What is the mood in the state? What are folks thinking about this morning?
Well, you know, we're sharing in the grief. You know, this is yet another shooting, another one in Texas. And, you know, one of the only benefits of these tragedies is it does give us pause and unite us on the dignity of the human person and how could anybody, you know, possibly harm a child. So it's tragic. It's senseless. There's a special place in hell for people who walk into a school and shoot little kids. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of different reactions, but I think right now everybody's just upset and mourning at this violence. And, you know, I mean, it reminds me of a quote that Father John Hardin said, and that Fulton Sheen talked about a lot, which is, if you're a society that commits itself to license, if you're a promiscuous society that can do whatever it wants, you will end up a violent society. And we're in a violent society in many ways. And this is why we need the church and why we need prayer and we need fasting and we need reason, because none of this makes any sense.
That is such a right on perspective, Sean. I think there's a lot of wisdom to that because, you know, if we can't respect life in general, how can we respect the life that we don't even see inside the womb?
Exactly. You know, and typically with these situations, I'm not the pro-life guy that runs out and says, yeah, but we kill children in the womb and we don't think twice about it. We have people advocating for that, saying that it's a freedom. And then we're shocked, you know, when people don't respect human life. And that's I think that's the obvious point that a lot of Catholics see, that, you know, that basic wonderful quote from Mother Teresa, where she said, if we can tell a mother that she can kill a child, how can we tell anyone not to kill anyone? And, you know, we're just very inconsistent on who we will defend, who we will mourn, and who we will protect. And so I think, you know, there's things that are wake up calls that allow us to reflect.
Without a doubt. Well, as you know, for almost a month here in the month of May, we've seen all kinds of protests. We've seen violence. We've seen a ton of rhetoric. Sean, what are some of the main reasons that the abortion activists are avoiding really talking about the issue, really talking about abortion?
Yeah, well, they've avoided it for 50 years. And for one side, it's been life and death, as we've discussed. This has been the greatest injustice of all injustices. And that's why the pro-life movement has grown so much. That's why it's gotten younger over the years. That's why this battle is going back to where we're the strongest in our movement, which is at the grassroots level. And you know, the other side hasn't had to talk about it. They've lived in vague rhetoric. And then somebody talked about it, Justice Alito, when he wrote the opinion and beat up Roe v. Wade with a baseball bat. And so all these abortion supporters, all of a sudden, since the leak, are having to tell what they think. You know, like, what do you think? And they're not able to articulate it, so they've either dressed up in costumes and gone into Catholic churches and kind of acted like goofballs, or they've just gotten mad. But they will not, address the issue of abortion itself. I mean, Alito breaks down the humanity of the baby, all the basic points that the pro-life movement has been making. I mean, he starts at 6 weeks and 8 weeks and 10 weeks and fetal development, and they just won't address any of that. They won't address any of that. And that's why you get some of these reactions. They're very ill-equipped. They were unprepared for this, and it's a great time to be pro-life and not sit there like a know-it-all, you know, and talk them through abortion. But the one thing we know about abortion in the last 50 years is people convert. People change their mind. People who just genuinely supported reproductive rights, they convert. Certainly those who have had an abortion convert. Those who work in the abortion industry convert. So it's a great opportunity for evangelization. And it's, you know, when you look around and you see some of these responses, one of the Handmaid's Tales women who, you know, they wear the red creepy outfits and they're out in front of Amy Coney Barrett's house and they're marching around and all that. You know, one of them started screaming about how Amy Coney Barrett has no idea what it's like to take a pregnancy to full term. And this is why, you know, when we in the pro-life movement say, hey, even for some abortion workers, they don't know what they're talking about when you get into abortion. And I've just experienced that firsthand. But they really don't know. I mean, Amy Coney Barrett, as we all know, has 7 children. She could probably write a book on pregnancy. And you know, they're sitting there screaming outside of the woman's home that she has no idea what it's like to take a baby to full term. And so it's a lost movement. That's why you hear very little from Planned Parenthood right now. They are being represented now by these crazies out in the streets. And I really think you're going to see a lot of people start to distance themselves from abortion, because obviously the idea that there's some kind of middle ground or pro-choice for normal people is gone. This is a pro-infanticide movement. It's a crazy movement, and it's a movement that's not able to effectively articulate their point.
Sean, I know that you've actually collected a litany of some of the comments that have been made by some of these abortion extremists. Can you share just a few, just to get a taste of what they're saying?
Yeah, I think the most relevant one, which I did in a vlog, especially for all of us Catholics, what we're seeing is this shift where the world kind of remembered that it hated Catholics. And we're being hated for the right reasons, right? For standing up for life. And there was a New York Times article called "Too Much Church in the State,"
which
was like a really bad, like, freshman in high school term paper. And so very predictable, but they didn't just make the typical church and state argument. It was a huge attack on Amy Coney Barrett, because the feminists hated her, but she seemed like she was Mother Teresa and she had 7 kids, and they, you know, they criticized her a little bit during her confirmation, but they really thought, okay, she's a weirdo. She has 7 kids. We don't like her, but we really can't say anything. One of the reasons Trump saved her for his last nominee, because she was kind of a shoo-in. And now the gloves are off, because she's going to overturn Roe v. Wade and she's Catholic. And this article just ripped. I mean, we wouldn't tolerate this for anybody else, certainly for no other woman who should be praised by feminists. I mean, she's unbelievable. She's in the highest court of the land. She is raising 7 children. She should be an icon for a lot of young women. But they can't stand her, and they can't stand her because she's Catholic. And that is that article. They call her a royal queen who is ready to unleash her wrath on the world. So,
wow.
It's insane. And it's, like I said, it's just not effective. And they don't know what to say. So they're saying a lot of these ridiculous phrases.
Sean, one thing is saying things. Another thing is threats of actually killing Supreme Court justices and blowing up the Supreme Court. Should we be taking this stuff seriously, or is this just insane rhetoric?
It is insane rhetoric, but this is why we have the FBI. Somebody should take it seriously, and we included that in our vlog. You know, somebody said, if you're terminally ill, now's the time to kill Clarence Thomas and Alito, the two oldest members of the court. And Twitter, it was a tweet, and Twitter did not take that tweet down, as an FYI. But, yes, I mean...
You talk about a double standard? My goodness. This is like,
and you hate to say it, but I mean, if the shoe was on the other foot, I'd be in prison if I said something like that. So it's just crazy that they say these things. And it also, by the way, speaks to their view of the human person, which is, if you're terminally ill, in other words, sick people have no reason to live. You could have a reason to live if you go kill a Supreme Court justice. You know, it's just this twisted view of the human person. But that's been one of the extreme responses. What we're seeing, though, John, and this is key, because the church is so consistent with her beautiful teaching on the dignity of the human person, we're seeing them go to their roots, and their roots are eugenics. That's where abortion comes from. And, you know, they immediately start going to where they always go, which is race. There's going to be this is really going to impact Black women and Latino women and children with disabilities. And now they throw the gay and lesbian community in there, too, just because another minority. So they throw all these minorities and say, without abortion, you know, these people will be impacted, which is basically what they're saying is, hey, all these people are going to keep having kids. We're going to have more poor kids. We're going to have more Black kids. We're going to have more kids with disabilities. And you really see their inner eugenicists come out, because that's what all this nonsense is based on at its root. And there's a lot of comments like that.
Sean, about 30 seconds left. Do you think we're going to see a summer of violence if and when Roe v. Wade is overturned?
I do think it will be overturned. I do think we will see an uptick in violence, and we're ready for that. We have many locations that are year-round. And then I think the violence will go away. I don't think this is George Floyd. It's not going to last a whole year. It's just different. It's very unique. And so I do predict that we'll see an uptick, and then it will go away over time, but not for what we do. We'll always have to deal with it. We've been dealing with it for the last few years, especially at 40 Days for Life. So, but it's a great time to celebrate, but it's a time when the real work begins, for sure.
Well, Sean, I so much appreciate you being with us this morning for your perspective. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Thanks so much, Sean.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sean Carney, the president, CEO, and co-founder of 40 Days for Life. We're going to take a short break when Morning Air returns. Our Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona, will have the latest news on the Holy Father from the Vatican. Stay with us. There's much more on Morning Air after this.
Bringing Rome to home. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. It's good to be with you this morning. Thanks for joining us on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And now it's time to bring Rome to home, as we do every Wednesday at this time. For the latest news from the Vatican, we go live to the Eternal City and our Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona. Ashley and her husband, John, founded the Truth and Beauty Project, providing Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. You can read more about them at johnandashley.org. Buongiorno. Good morning, Ashley. It's always good to be with you from the Eternal City, Roma. But this morning, we come to you as a nation here in the States with a heavy heart.
Yes, indeed. And John, it certainly is comforting to know that Pope Francis is also praying along with all of us, especially for our country. In fact, today at the papal audience, he said that his heart was shattered. Those were the words he used because of the massacre at the Texas school. He says he prays for the children and adults who were killed, and he also prays for their families, John.
Ashley, as a parent, and I know that this is a parent's worst nightmare, you get emotional when you think and you put yourself in the place of the parents of those families, of those 19 children that died, along with the two teachers. It's unthinkable, the pain and the suffering that they must be going through. And I know the Holy Father has such a heart for all of the people of God.
Yes, indeed. And he certainly is kept aware of things that are happening throughout the world. And it really does, it feels good. It's a great comfort to know that right now he's thinking of us, that his heart is certainly with us today.
Well, the Holy Father continued once again with another Wednesday audience. What was the focus for the rest of his audience this morning?
You know, John, he continued on the line of catechesis, especially pointed towards the elderly. And he spoke about how we older people, of course, including himself in that, our 85-year-old pontiff, he says, we older people have an important mission in life, and it's to really awaken in the youth, in the young, a hunger and a thirst for justice and righteousness. Now, he also warned about the danger of something that can come up in older age called disenchantment. And he described this as where the elderly who've now seen it all decide that, similar to the words of Ecclesiastes, everything is vanity. And so this disenchantment can happen when one sees that efforts just seem to produce no results, that everything seems to, whether good or bad, it just seems to turn into nothingness. And he said that modern culture combines knowledge and irresponsibility in an attempt to take away the moral impact of our actions and takes us down the path of paralysis of the soul. And so the Pope pointed out that in the book of Ecclesiastes, it concludes with an indication of how to get out of this trap of disenchantment. And the way is to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And so he urged the elderly to keep their passion for justice intact, remembering that there is hope, that also hope for love and for faith. And he noted that elderly people who are rich in wisdom and humor and who share that do so much good for the young. And with that, they save the young from the temptation of a sad worldly knowledge and a world that's devoid of the wisdom of life. And at the conclusion of the audience today, John, the Pope prayed for peace in Ukraine. He prayed for peace throughout the world, especially through the intercession of Mary, the Mother of God, asking her to teach all to have solidarity with those who are tried by war, and that her prayers would obtain the reconciliation of all nations, John.
Ashley, I'm just curious. I know the Holy Father has been dealing with issues with his knees. I understand that he's actually been using a wheelchair at times. I'm not sure if that's all the time or just part of the time. What do you know? What's the latest with the Holy Father's health condition?
Yes, in fact, today he used a cane. This is the first time we've seen him at one of the audiences like this, but we're starting to see him at other public events where he is needing to use a cane to help him to walk. He says he has a lot of pain in his knee, and so as a result of that, his schedule has had to be adjusted in order to accommodate some more rest. We're seeing him doing audiences, private audiences, where he's seated where typically he would be standing. So yes, definitely things have changed for the Holy Father at this point.
And we continue to pray for the Holy Father as well. Now, I understand there's an unusual commemoration for one of Michelangelo's greatest works, the beautiful, magnificent Pietà.
Yes, you're right, John. And that is because it was in May of 1972, 50 years ago, that a Hungarian man, his name was Laszlo Toth, he came into St. Peter's Basilica and attacked Michelangelo's Pietà. And so that anniversary is being commemorated right now. Now, what happened on that day back in 1972, Toth climbed over an altar rail there in St. Peter's Basilica. He attacked Michelangelo's Pietà, hammering it with a geologist's hammer. And he was screaming, "I'm Jesus Christ, risen from the dead." And of course, this breathtaking Renaissance masterpiece that portrays the Madonna holding the dead body of Jesus after he was taken down from the cross is the same one that today one can see in the first altar on the right in St. Peter's Basilica. But 50 years ago, it suffered extensive damage from those 15 hammer blows. And Toth, as he was inflicting those blows, was actually apprehended by bystanders. So imagine that there were pilgrims, there were tourists right there in the Basilica who were witnessing this. And they also saw him knock Our Lady's left arm there at the elbow. He chipped off part of her eyelid and a significant part of her nose. He was a young man. He was 33 years old. He was restrained by these bystanders, including an American sculptor who was there, who pulled him right off of the Pietà. And then in his wake, the chapel floor had about 100 fragments from the statue. And of course, you have to keep in mind, too, that this piece had been carved by Michelangelo from a single block of Carrara marble, and now 100 fragments were all over the floor. And sadly, some of the tourists present grabbed pieces and brought them home as souvenirs. Although at least one person did repent and anonymously from the United States sent back one of those chipped pieces. And the Vatican then was faced with the dilemma of how to go about what to do next. Art historians were divided really on how to proceed because some thought the statue should remain now in its damaged state. Others thought it should be fixed, but you should be able to distinguish the fixed parts from Michelangelo's original work. And at the end, the Vatican went for an integral procedure, which is invisible to the naked eye. What they did was the restorers pieced together these tiny little fragments after about 5 months of just identifying them. They pieced them together with a glue, an invisible glue, and then powder that's ground from Carrara marble. So with that, 10 months later, they were able to put the Pietà back on display. And since that time, it has been behind bulletproof glass. Toth was not charged for the crime, but he was committed to a psychiatric hospital in Italy, released just 2 years later, sent back to Australia, and he died in 2012. So in these days, we are remembering this sad anniversary of the defacing of Michelangelo's beautiful work, but of course with gratitude that we can still enjoy it today in St. Peter's Basilica, John.
Well, that is a fascinating behind-the-scenes story. I really appreciate your historical perspective on that. And of course, you know, when I think of the Pietà, I always think of Mel Gibson and the scene in The Passion of the Christ of the Blessed Mother holding Jesus. He made it come to life, literally, the Pietà, right on the big screen in The Passion.
Yes, so true. And actually, it's interesting because the Pietà as an art form was used long before the time of Michelangelo, in the sense of scenes where we see the Madonna holding the Christ child, holding her son after being taken off the cross. But it was really Michelangelo who managed to bring it to new heights. And of course, put Christ in a horizontal position. No one had ever tried that before. And even in a position where we see that it's in the form of a triangle representing the Trinity. So just an absolute masterpiece, and so incredibly blessed that we can all appreciate it today.
On another note, how is Rome celebrating the feast of St. Philip Neri?
Yes, in fact, this feast is tomorrow, John, and he is so beloved here. You know, St. Philip Neri has a nickname, the Apostle of Rome. He's also called Pippo Buono, which means little Philip the Good, and that's because he had such an incredibly good heart. And he, when he came to Rome during the Counter-Reformation, it was really in quite a sad state, especially with the faith after the sack of Rome. But he began actually going to businesses. He would go to banks and schools and to factories, and he would just start to preach as a layman. It was from that friends started to join him, and he eventually founded the oratory right here in Rome. And so on his special feast day tomorrow, people can go and visit the rooms that he used to live in, first at the Church of St. Jerome of Charity. And that is the place where he founded the oratory itself, where he and young men would get together and talk about all kinds of important topics, talk about the faith, talk about life, economy, politics, and that idea of lifting each other up through noble conversation. And then also people will visit the Church of, it's called Chiesa Nuova, is the nickname of the church. And it's there that he's entombed. And also one can go and visit his rooms there as well. The priest there will host a special lunch for the poor. And in different cities throughout the country, celebrations will happen for St. Philip Neri. In Verona, for example, they'll do a big procession through the streets of Verona, carrying a statue of St. Philip Neri high above their heads. So we pray for the prayers and intercessions of St. Philip Neri, the Apostle of Rome, Pippo Buono, Philip the Good.
And we'll have to leave it right there. Ashley, thank you so much, as always, for bringing Rome to home to our listeners.
Oh, it's great to be here, John. Many blessings on you.
Many blessings to you, too. Ashley Narona, our Rome correspondent, who joins us every Wednesday from the Eternal City. You can listen to her reports on the Relevant Radio app or just go to Relevant in Rome. Coming up on Morning Air, Mario Costabile, the founder, executive director of A Ray of Hope, will be with us to talk about his organization as well as producing Catholic events and films. Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Rise up, open your heart. Rise up, now's the time to start. Rise up.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's good to be with you once again on a Wednesday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. If you want to be part of our show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, here at Relevant Radio, you've heard me say it many, many times. That is our mission statement, bringing Christ to the world through the media. Media is a powerful conduit to delivering the faith to all people, to all generations. I want to tell you about a media organization that's doing some fantastic work. It's called A Ray of Hope. They create original music, films, and events that reveal beauty and the truths of our Catholic faith. Seeking to address the decline of God in our culture, A Ray of Hope is empowered by His grace to capture the hearts of families and awaken an inner desire to seek a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Joining us live this morning is Mario Costabile, the founder and executive director of A Ray of Hope, to talk about his work producing Catholic events and films. Mario has been a successful music and film producer for well over 40 years. He's produced content for film, radio, television, and the recording business for big names like MTV, VH1, the Discovery Channel, as well as in Catholic media for EWTN and many others. Good morning, Mario. It's good to be with you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, John. Wonderful to be with you as well.
First of all, tell us about A Ray of Hope and why you were inspired to found it.
Well, my background is I'm a music and film producer, and I was involved in producing a Christian act several years ago and had never produced Christian music before. And I went to Nashville, and I observed how Christian music was created and really fell in love in the way that our evangelical brothers and sisters evangelized to the culture through media, through high-quality music and films. And it was at that moment that the Lord kind of hit me over the head with a 2x4 and said, you know, I kind of had a desire, a wish that Catholics evangelize in such a powerful and relevant way. And that's when the Lord kind of called me to offer my gifts and talents for the church and to glorify, you know, the Catholic message.
Do you think that as Catholics that we can learn a lot from our evangelical Protestant brothers and sisters on how to bring Christ to the world?
Well, it made a big impression on me. You know, they are very bold and they are very loud. I don't mean loud volume. I mean loud in the way they present. You know, the quality is paramount in a lot of what they do. Me being a musician and a music producer and a film producer, I noticed immediately that they didn't skimp in any areas. And I think we can learn that. You know, the message of the Catholic Church and the teachings of Christ is so important, and often the deliverable is compromised in trying to deliver that message, when the deliverable, the conduit, should be as good as the message or close to the message, so people deliver, you know, receive the message, right? So yes, I was inspired and impressed by our evangelical brothers and sisters.
And one has to consider that there's a difference between the evangelical worship services, which have a lot of music and big screens, and some of their places look more like sports arenas than our Catholic Church. Churches where we're all focused on the sacred liturgy and the Eucharist. So it's what they do is more like what we do at World Youth Day.
That's right. Yeah. And what I was inspired to do is actually to entice, encourage, make the church relevant so we want to go to back to church, right, and receive the sacraments. That's what the Lord kind of instilled and put a call in my heart. I use every possible media that's available to show people that the sacraments are powerful, the sacraments are real, the teachings of the Christ of the Church are the truth, and draw them back to the church so they can experience the Mass. You know, as you know probably better than I, so many people have left the Mass and not going to Mass, and we want to draw them back to the Mass and receive the sacraments.
Well, our patron here at Relevant Radio, and he's your patron as well, St. John Paul II. John Paul the Great said, it's not enough to know Christ. We must introduce him to others. Tell us about why you picked JP2 as the patron saint of A Ray of Hope.
Well, you know, he had an affection toward artists and the arts, and he was, you know, early on in his youth, he wanted to become an actor, and that appealed to me, and he wrote about that in several of his books, and I love the theology of the body, so it certainly made sense that, you know, St. John Paul would be our patron saint, given the way that we want to evangelize. He was a big evangelizer himself. He believed in the youth and the young, so all the connections, you know, made sense for us to select him.
Yeah, you talk about somebody that knew how to work the cameras, the microphones,
right.
The audience, the angles, the lighting. Mm-hmm. He was the master.
Yeah, amen.
No question. Exactly. Take us through how far you've come from the early days of A Ray of Hope compared to where you are today.
Yeah, I mean, we started out as and we still are, a multimedia event organization. If you can imagine Steubenville event in your local gymnasium, that's how we started, you know, music and a concert and live witness. And we had film in the background, so it was an ongoing music videos kind of presentation. As we grew and developed, people saw the films that we were showing at our events and enjoyed them and asked where they can find them. And we started sharing them on Catholic television and started developing a whole division of films where we could create content sort of that delivered the beauty and the message of the church. And then we developed so many and created so many films that we thought that maybe we can create a channel and a platform that everything can reside on a specific place. So if people wanted to find some of our films on an app or in a channel, I mean, they can. And from that, when COVID hit, we actually developed a virtual platform from the channel. So we do retreats and events right from our channel that are live events that are also very exciting. So over the past 12 years that, you know, A Ray of Hope was created and ongoing, I mean, we really have grown from where we were by strictly just doing live events. Now we do live events, we do virtual events, and we have an app and a channel.
We're joined this morning by Mario Costabile, the founder and executive director of A Ray of Hope. Mario, talk about your concert events. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you've done with these tremendous concerts.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when COVID hit, I mean, it was difficult for a lot of event organizations because all the events went away. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring people back to a space where they can experience the Lord and be transformed. And our events, you know, it is very music-based. We create films that invoke the Holy Spirit to speak to them. The most powerful way that we communicate the faith is our presenters witness the faith. They share the faith. They share the importance of the faith to them and how it transformed their hearts. So the event is very family-based. Although we do have youth events, we have family events that really bring the family together, which is, you know, is threatened today in our culture. And we try to unite the family and make and show the importance of how God can really affect their families, influence their families, and really make their family grow in unity. So that's what the Array of Hope concert experience really does. We're a firecracker. We're sort of like a big sort of ignition that goes off in a parish where if a parish wants to celebrate an anniversary or some form of event to bring all the parishioners together, Array of Hope is that event.
Do you think that Catholic media in general is needed more today than ever before? When you consider what our young people are being fed in the regular culture?
I think high-quality Catholic media is paramount today because, what is it? I don't even know the statistics. 90% of all the kids, and even adults, are always on their phone. Some extraordinary statistic is like they're like 4 or 5 hours on their phone. So we have to go where they're at, or else we're going to miss the boat, right? So if we create content, music, films, that at least comes up on their social media platform or on a channel or whatnot, at least we have a shot, right? If we're not where most of the people are, they're not going to hear the message. So, you know, I think as a church, we need to be open-minded, and we need to be think outside the box into reaching the culture. And I think that's what we're doing at Array of Hope, and that's what you guys are doing at Relevant Radio. You have to broadcast. You have to send out as much information about who God is, who Christ is, so people hear it and allow the Holy Spirit to work in their heart.
You guys also do live shows, Rise Up Live, and you've had some pretty impressive big names. I recognize many of them that have also been here on Relevant Radio. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, the Rise Up Live show is a weekly show that appears on our channel, and it's like a Catholic variety show. So it's just another thing that we thought of that will bring families together to experience music, to experience personalities, well-known artists come on, films that we've created, really to draw the attention once again to the Catholic Church and its teachings in a way that's relevant to what they ordinarily experience in the secular world. I mean, the key thing here is that we have to make it relatable, we have to make it relevant, and we have to make it something that they've experienced every day. Because then what happens is that the Holy Spirit works, right? They're attracted to it, they see the beauty, they see the excitement, and then we allow the Holy Spirit to work and speak to them through the content and the events that we create.
We have about 30 seconds left. Time just flies by. How can our listeners actually watch some of your movies or series and find much more about Array of Hope?
Yes, thank you, John. Everything is on our website at www.array. It's spelled A-R-R-A-Y of hope.org. Everything you need to know about Array of Hope is on our website, access to our channel, our music, our events. It's all there.
Well, Mario, thanks so much for being with us this morning. Many blessings to your fantastic work.
You too. You guys are the best. Thank you, John, for having me on.
Mario Costabile, the founder and executive director of Array of Hope. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Daily Discipline of Gratitude. In 2008, a young Australian woman, Haley Bartholomew, found that she wasn't enjoying life. She described herself as feeling lost and stuck on a treadmill. It was almost inexplicable. She was married to a man she loved and had beautiful children who held her heart. So why was she feeling so down about her life? Haley sought the counsel of a nun who advised her to spend time each day reflecting on something for which she was grateful. Haley began a project called 365 Grateful. Every day she took a picture of something for which she was grateful. It changed her life, for it allowed her to see things she'd never noticed. Haley had always thought of her husband as unromantic. One day she took a picture of him serving up dinner. the thing which she was grateful for that day. And she noticed for the first time the largest portion of the pie was placed on her plate. She realized the largest portion was always placed on her plate, and that was one small but profound way her husband showed his care for her. Haley had found mothering a boring job, but as she took photos of her children holding out their hands to her, playing and exploring, she discovered how much joy and wonder there was in her world. Through the art of gratitude, Haley found herself lifted out of her rut and celebrating life. Psalm 107, 8 and 9 says, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things."
Thanks so much, Glenn. What a great reminder that we must have an attitude of gratitude. Now, coming up next hour here on Morning Air, we'll have more reaction to yesterday's tragic school shooting in Texas. Our spiritual director, Father Marcel Tayon, will also join us to continue our series on the mysteries of the rosary. Today, we'll talk about the luminous mysteries. Plus, our personal success coach, Dave Duran, will be with us to talk about five common questions that people have been asking him about their career. So stay with us. There's much more. Do not change that dial as we have a lot more to cover here on Morning Air next hour on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.